second, but we're going to be looking at Psalms 145. And so if you have a Bible with you, go ahead and open it to Psalm 145. If you don't have one, we've got some in the back, and if you just raise your hand, one of the ushers can bring that to you. We're going to be looking at Psalm 145. Psalm 145 was written by, did I say Psalm? Okay, hang on. Yeah, no, I just, oh, never mind. My brain is thinking proverb. I'm looking at Proverbs. Sorry. Let me get to it correctly. But this particular psalm was written by King David. And David, David's kind of an emotional guy. I don't know if you know a whole lot about David. But his emotions are good. They're not misplaced. Sometimes they get misplaced when he was more in the flesh. But they were usually directed accurately towards God, at least when he would write things. Not necessarily all the time, but usually when he wrote things in his psalms. And this particular psalm is a psalm we're going to look at today around this idea of thankfulness. So we're taking a one-week gap between our last sermon series, which was on the gifts of the Spirit, and you know how do we use our gifting. And then over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking more about the Christmas themes that we see in the Old Testament that actually reflect the New Testament coming of Christ, so the advent of Jesus. And so in the meantime, what I want to do before we look at this, though, is pray and ask God to bless us with his presence this morning. Heavenly Father, your word is good, and there are things that we read in your word that make us happy, that make us excited, that give us comfort, that give us assurance. There's things we read in your word that bother us also, that trouble us, that concern us and confuse us. And so, Father, in those areas where there's confusion or where we're troubled by something, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would speak to us, each individually into those areas, and show us how your word reflects who you are, your character and your goodness and your attributes and your presence and everything about you. And so, again, as we begin to go through this little short topic of thankfulness and how we respond to that as believers, God, what my prayer is that this morning you would be glorified, you would be exalted, you would be lifted high, you would be extolled, you would be praised. And Father, let your name, the name above all names, be the thing that we admire the most in this time we have together. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So here's what we're going to do is, if I could have the house lights on, actually, because I need to, you guys have to be able to read. Again, we're a little out of sorts because we're doing this a little different than we normally do. We're going to start by understanding about thankfulness from this passage. Because King David, he was always thankful to God, thankful for who God is and everything God had done for him. And David had done a lot of things that were not admirable, that were things that normally a person would be rejected by, but David was thankful for hard and easy experiences. He was thankful for good times and bad times, and that's why he penned this particular psalm, because he wanted to push it all together and say, God, these are the things I want to honor you with, I want to thank you for all he had done in David's life. And so today, again, our theme is about thankfulness. And so if we could go to this next slide, we're going to use part of Psalm 145 to discover how to honor and thank God. Like, how do we do that? What's the process we should be doing that with? And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4 here. You have some notes and some fill-ins there in your notes you can go along with me on. And later, we're going to have a short time of some praise and thank yous. And some of you this year have had some things that were very hard, yet rewarding experiences thus far, since January. And so this would be a good opportunity to give a testimony, a short one, not right this second, but in a little while. So if the Lord puts something on your heart, don't resist him. We're amongst family, and we're here to testify about who God is. So we're going to have a time to give some thanks, but let's kind of lead up to that first of all. And so verses 1, 2, 3, 4, we're going to look at these, and I'm going to read them. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and the most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. And what I want to do is go and kind of unwind this a little bit, because there's words that are used in here that we don't really use them very often. And the first word is this word exalt. Is the word exalt. And so on the next slide, what I did is I wanted to take some time to help you understand what that means. You know, to exalt something is just to put somebody above you. And so what David right here is saying is, God, I'm putting you above me. Like, all my wants, all my needs, all my concerns, all my passions, I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to lift you up above me. Well, he's not lifting God, but you understand what I'm saying. Is figuratively, in his mind, he's saying, God, I'm putting you above me. You're my king. And then he says another thing, which is this issue of praise. And so the next word here is praise. And in the Hebrew meaning of that word, this is what it means, to kneel before God. Okay, so when we say praise, we tend to think about, you know, clapping our hands or putting our hands in the air, or we tend to think of, you know, Hosanna or Hallelujah, or we shout out loud, whatever. Well, the Hebrew meaning of that, which was David's system at the time, that's his religion, that's his culture, the Hebrew culture. So when he said, I praise God, he didn't mean he was standing up and lifting his hands to the air. He meant he was kneeling down to God. It was an act of adoration. So that's why this passage that comes right after this in the next slide from David, a whole different psalm, Psalm 95:6, that's why he says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us praise, or let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. That's what he's referring to. And so as you begin to understand, he's saying, I lift God up, I lower myself down. Does that make sense? That's what he's saying here in that first passage. And then he says, every day, you know, all day long, every day, there's something that I do. And the next one is this word extol. This is something we hardly ever use in the English, you know, unless you're into poetry or reading Old English stuff. But that word extol means to shine. Okay, it means just to shine. And it could easily be translated that way in your Bible, but the publishers of these Bibles know that it's going to throw you off. You're going to think it's a wrong translation. It's the correct translation to actually put the word shine there, but it's been used for so long that everyone thinks extol is like the holy word that came directly out of God's mouth, and we shouldn't mess with it. So this word extol is important, because it means to shine. And this is where your spiritual gifts kick in, that we went through a series for 4 weeks on, which is that God wants to shine through you. God wants to use you in the gifting that he has given you to bring glory to himself, to bring kingdom advancement into our community. And when you use the gifts he's given you, he shines on those whom you serve. And so that's why Jesus said, quite frankly, let your light shine. Extol God. Let that light of God shine before men, and they can see your good deeds. And by seeing your good deeds, what they're going to praise is God, the Father, who's in heaven. And so if you start to understand this passage, David is saying a lot of things that we really need to get a grasp of, to understand how it relates to us, how it relates to us. How do we honor God? How do we thank God? We put him above, we kneel down, and then we let him shine through us. And finally, verses 3 and 4, it says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Your greatness no one can fathom. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try. Does that make sense? Just because we can't fathom him doesn't mean that we shouldn't still try to understand him. And then it goes on to say that one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. And so what, you know, the second half is what's going on right now in the Sunday school class is, you know, that we're trying to share on to the next generation, the works of God. So one generation will commend the works to another, and they will tell of their mighty acts. So here, let's turn back to David for a second. You know, David, when he was born into what he was born into, which was a shepherding family, he learned about God through his father and his uncles and his parents, or his mom and his aunts, and the generations before him, when he went to what we would call church, but they didn't have church back then, but when they went to gather to learn about God, David learned about things from one generation to his generation. So that's how it was shared. There was none of this, you guys. Don't forget. We have like a super modern luxury of having this. They had word of mouth for the most part. They had some scrolls, but you had to go to a building to read the scrolls. And then it was only opened at certain times because these scrolls were not just some little rolled up thing like a poster, but they were these big, big rolls of leather, basically. And they would carry them out and then have to roll them out carefully so they didn't break. And they were very sacred. And so when they shared things, they shared from generation to generation with one another. And that's how David learned about God, from the generation before him. And then David began to have his own personal experiences with God. And as he began to have those experiences with God, he began to share those experiences. And now we have them written down, not only in the Psalms, but in the King's Chronicles area, you know, of your Bible. And that's what we know about David and what he knows about God, whereas through his experiences, through the experience of people before him, that's how David knew about God. But there are things about God that David didn't know. There's a lot of stuff about God that David didn't know. And there are things about God that you know about. So what I'm trying to communicate there is there are things that you know about God that David, let me say it a different way. I was about to say it the same way. You know more about God in certain areas than David did. Okay? I don't know if you understand this, because we're living on a further side of history than David did. So let me give you a quick example of that. David didn't know about a babe in a manger who would be the savior of the world. He had no way of knowing that. He knew, you know, that there would be a Messiah one of these days that would come, but he didn't know anything about that story and how he would appear, what would his life be like. David didn't know about Christ's vicarious death that would save mankind. He didn't know that Jesus' resurrection would guarantee eternal life to those who accept him as Lord and Savior. David didn't know these things, but you know these things. You know them. And that's what you should be telling your friends and family when they're struggling and they need hope. Because don't forget what our mission is as a church. We journey together. We love Jesus. And what else do? We bring hope. And what is the hope we bring? We bring the hope of the good news of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I came to bring hope. I came to bring healing. I came to bring sight. I came to bring freedom. I bring release. I bring mercy. And he brought hope. And so you can bring a lot of stuff to people, Christian. You really can. And I want to encourage you to continue to do that in your life. And you know what you know. And that's kind of a loose statement, but I'm going to say it again. You know what you know. So share what you know. You don't have to know it all. Okay? I don't know it all. And I'm up here sharing every single week, you know, or most weeks, and I'm sharing what I know on midweek. I've been teaching on Sunday nights. By the way, there's no class tonight, but there will be one next Sunday night. But going back to this theme of thankfulness, share what you know. Tell others what you know. So verses 3 and 4 say to share what you know, all that you've learned, all that you've experienced. How do we know about what David knew and experienced? Because it was shared. It was told. And that's what you should be doing. That's the model. So this next slide begins to challenge us, which is, what is this? What is it that we should say? What is it we should do? And we see this is in verses 5 through 7. And as I read, here's what my prayer is. And I prayed about this earlier with Dwight. I've been praying about this throughout the week. I really do want you to listen for God in these next three verses, asking you to share a thanks about him today. Okay, so just listen to what these verses say. And I'm reading them out of the New International Version here. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness in joyful songs of righteousness. And these are the things in white that you can say or do. You can speak of God's greatness or his splendor of and his majesty. You can meditate on his words. You can tell people of his powerful works. You can proclaim his great deeds. You can celebrate his abundant goodness. And you can joyfully sing. You can joyfully sing of God's righteousness. And these are what God has called us to do. So oftentimes as believers, we're like, I don't know what I should say. I don't know what I should do. This is your answer. These are some of your answers. These are the things you can say or do for God. And so I'm going to open it up here because it's Thanksgiving, and I had said in our newsletter, I believe, that this would be kind of a simpler Sunday where we just want to have a little bit of testimonial. We want to hear what God's doing in your life. And so I just wanted to kind of prime the thoughts of what God's doing. So these are the things that maybe God has put on your heart to share, is something that God has been doing, some sort of glorious splendor of his wonderful works in your life, to take the opportunity to tell people of his great deeds. And maybe you want to share about God's goodness. And then when we're done sharing, we'll sing a couple more songs of God's righteousness. But I want to honor God. And so if you have something to share, I don't want you to ramble about yourself. Okay, I want you to share about God and what God has done. And this is about great things that God has done in your life. So keep your comments brief so that others might have an opportunity to testify. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of prime the pump, okay? And I'm going to ask, Dwight, where are you at? I know that you don't have something that you and I have talked about, but I'm going to ask you to share first, because I know the Lord has stuff in your heart always to share. So if you could come up. And the idea is if the Lord puts something on your heart, don't wait for Dwight to sit down. Just come up and be prepared. We have a couple different microphones here. And again, just keep it short, but just give some sort of thanks or testimony of what God has been doing in your life. And so the mic right now is open to you. Oh, and by the way, the sound guys know how to use the mic, so they're working. You don't need to tap them. And if you need to... And Russell has reminded us, if you need to adjust it, there's a small knob right here. Don't do anything else. Don't pry on it. So, Dwight, I'll turn it over to you.
You know, I'm just thankful for God's faithfulness. No matter how much we mess up or do things right or wrong or whatever, he's always faithful, you know, and he pursues us. He's so diligent at pursuing us that it's just amazing. Just his goodness, right? We're driven by his goodness, I guess, in a sense. So, short and simple.
I don't know how to keep it simple, so I'm gonna try. Last week, I spoke that I might not be here, that my whole life was about to change because my son was getting out of jail, and his PO said that he would have to come with me, even if that meant that I would end up being homeless, removed from my home because he couldn't come home to my family. And I actually got the okay from his PO to move to Kentucky, but I got declined from my PO, so, I mean, I actually would have ended up homeless. So the night before I went to court, my uncle had a change of heart and said my son could come home, and I ran with it to the courts, and right there, that was a miracle right there. That was really a selfless act from my uncle, but when I went to court, his lawyer came and told me how his attitude was like, well, tell my mom I ain't moving to Kentucky, and I want to go home today. So off the top, him making demands let me release how I really felt about the whole situation, which I've been holding on to myself. You know, I didn't want to explain how I really felt to the judge. So kind of blurted out, and I kind of went off, and needless to say, my son's getting put in a group home, which doesn't remove me from my situation. I'm here, and I don't know, that's my miracle, because God, I've stayed steadfast with my faith that God was going to provide a way, because everybody was asking, why aren't you, like, going crazy? My sister was going crazy, crying about it, everything, even my auntie a little bit, you know? I was just like, God has a bigger plan. He's going to provide a way. And he did. Last minute, he came through full effect. But then I got an added bonus. I got an added blessing. Like, I don't have a relationship with my 28-year-old son. And he called me yesterday and told me that I'm an amazing woman, that all of the messages that I've left him over the years, he received them. Which led him to the point of right now reaching out to me, telling me that he loved me. So, God's been really good to me this Thanksgiving.
I just want to testify to God's goodness and protection. My daughter and her family had a house fire last month. And they had a babysitter there. The babysitter got the kids and the dog out. The house has a lot of water and smoke damage, but they were able to put the fire out. They're going to be out of the house for about 6 months. God provided them a great rental right near the kids' school. He's been taking care of every need. The insurance company's been wonderful. And I'm just praising God that they're safe and that it's drawn them closer as a family. They love the Lord, and it's been a real testimony to them and their kids. Some of you know at least part of the story of my cousin Roger, who has had health challenges for decades, Crohn's disease. He has a dear friend, a brother, a blood brother now, who happens to be...
When Leah said that our family has problems, she meant me, typically, so... Yeah, no. we're gonna bring this kind of to a little bit of a narrowing down, and then we'll have just a short time of prayer, and then a little bit more singing. Because again, this is just a Thanksgiving service. It's just being thankful for what God has given to each of us. And so, if you could turn with me to your notes, which is this next portion here with regard to verses 8 and 9, that this is how God feels about you. Okay, David reveals to us how God feels about you, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter if you think that you're the worst sinner, or if you think that you're unable to receive God's grace or God's compassion, you're wrong. The truth is what it says, that the Lord is gracious to you, toward you. And your little fill-in is put the word me, toward me, and compassionate towards me. The Lord is slow to anger towards me and rich in love towards me. The Lord is good to all, even you. And he has compassion on all he has made, meaning you. This is what God thinks about you. This is how God is. This is how he feels about you when he thinks about you. God loves you and he wants you to know it. He wants you to know him through his son Jesus Christ. And I'm confident that God has done some mighty things for us all over this year, you know, since the beginning of the year. And he's continuing to do some things, and he's still working certain things out in your life. So I want you to join in on offering God some sentence prayers, sentence praises. And so you don't have to get up, you don't have to stand or anything, and they only have to last about a sentence long. And what I want to do, and I'll start it out, is we're going to praise him for some things that he's done, but you don't have to be specific. You can just say something like, you know, God, thanks for being there. You know, it can be like that brief, because he knows what you're talking about in that praise. And this will be your opportunity to be thankful, for to glorify him, to extol him, to exalt him, to praise him. From your seat, simply say thank you to God for something that he's done, a goodness and a greatness of God that you've experienced. And so if you'd bow your heads right now with me, and just join me with your heads bowed in an attitude of prayer. And we're going to begin with a quiet time of listening prayer, listening for the Lord that he's going to bring a memory of something that he's done in your life or in your family life that he wants you to remember and to be thankful for. God, you have put into our lives goodness where there was destruction. God, you have changed the course of things in our lives this year in areas where we didn't believe the course could ever be changed. You've brought beauty where there's ashes. You brought laughter where there were tears. And so God, remind us in this quiet what it is that you've done for each one of us individually.